There are 800,000 police officers in the United States, and they all have a one thing in common. Their job is tough. There are heroes among their ranks, those who face danger every day to keep us safe. But then there are those who do the badge no justice at all. With us tonight to cover policing in America, former Louisiana homicide detective Rodney Demery, who's now host of the podcast Murder Chose Me. Also with us, Philip Banks, former NYPD police chief. And from live PD fame, Sheriff Mark Lamb of Pinal County, Arizona, and the American Sheriff Network. Welcome to all of you. Let's get right to it. I want to get you to Houston. My heart is still breaking after I watched this video, guys. A man was being served a warrant. That's kind of perfunctory stuff. But this man was so ruthless that he decided to open fire at the officers knocking on his door, even though his girlfriend and her young children were in the line of fire. What's incredible about this incident, though, is that we have several different angles of what happened in this tragedy, from the body cams being worn by the responding officers. Officer Bill Jeffrey was killed during this incident. And we're going to show this to you, and I just want to warn, some of this video may be very disturbing to watch.
Dion, it's Houston Police. Let's do this scene. Bill.
Hey, Bill. Bill, come back.
Call an ambulance.
Get an ambulance. Darn right, get an ambulance, maybe two, because two officers were struck by that gunfire that was coming out of that door. I want to show you another angle of what happened. It looks very different, but you will recognize some of the same things that are happening. Take a look at this.
Ma'am.
Okay.
I got you.
Ready, contact.
You got eyes on him?
No, I do not.
Is Dion inside?
Can you step out of Houston, please?
Is Dion inside? Is he upstairs?
He's one.
Right here? Supposed to be right here.
Let me just tell him. Hold on.
Dion, it's Houston Police. Let's do this thing.
Hold on. Give me cover. Bill, can you come back?
Three B
51 D,
see you
bumping. That's clear.
Somebody get Bill. Bill, can you get back? Bill, can you get back? They're talking about an officer named Bill. He was one of the first to be shot. His name is Officer William Jeffrey, 31 years on the force. Bill was not going to make it back. Bill didn't have any way of making it back. Bill was so incapacitated, Bill would eventually die. But I do want to show you another view of this action. It is a very dramatic perspective because you are watching an injured Sergeant Michael Vance, shot multiple times in the leg, crawling like a soldier to safety towards his colleagues.
Sergeant, you good? You good?
No, I'm here.
Let's go get Bill. Somebody get Bill. Colleague. You good, Sarge?
I'm here.
Yeah. Where you at, Sarge? Where you at, right? Where, Sarge?
I don't know.
You good, Sarge? Not yet. That's what Sarge said. Not yet. Sarge is actually Sergeant Michael Vance. He was shot, as I said, several times in the leg, and you could see him on his elbows trying to, you know, shimmy his way to safety because the gunfire was still blazing over his head, to his side. I don't know how close to the girlfriend and the kids, but they were sure in the line of fire. But that Sergeant Michael Vance, who was shot in the legs, he was also wearing a body cam. So you're also about to get the perspective of what Sergeant Michael Vance was seeing as he was trying to escape with his life.
Dion, it's Houston Police. Let's do this.
I'm hit.
What did I do?
I'm hit. I can see by the faces of all three of you, this is not unusual for you. This is what you guys do. This is what happens when a warrant doesn't go the way it's supposed to go. But what's so astounding, and Sheriff Lamb, I'm going to begin with you, is how fast it goes from a normal Tuesday to a lethal day with a man whose life will never be the same either.
Yeah, and you're right, Ashley. Fortunately, this is not usual. This is somewhat unusual, but arriving on a scene like this where you don't know what you're walking into is usual. All too often, men and women who put on this badge every day are putting their lives in harm's way to try to protect families. Clearly, it's probably a call for a family disturbance of some sort or something. They showed up there trying to execute the warrant or the drug warrant. And this is what happens. So we are constantly on our guard. But even then, that's not enough sometimes. And my heart goes out to this officer and his family and the other ones involved as well.
Chief Banks, I'd like to get you to weigh in on this as well. You know, Sheriff Lamb says it's not usual, but man, I've seen too many of these videos.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, we very well may see a lot more of this. This may not be the last time that we have seen this. You know, when I was a young officer, my father was in the police department, and he told me there's no such thing as a routine anything, that you can do it 100 times and it could end successfully. And it's that one time that you least suspect that you will be involved in a situation like this. So certainly, you know, my heart goes out to the family of those officers. I just would like to say that it was just amazing and courageous how cool and calm the officers who was involved in this gun battle, they took cover, they were able to communicate over the radio. So it certainly appears to be that it's a very well-trained police department, and unfortunately that they had to suffer a tragic incident like this.
I'm glad that you said that, because that was one thing I could not wrap my head around. Bill, can you get back? Somebody get Bill. Bill, can you get back? They were so calm. It's as though they went into training mode when the first, you know, bullet was fired. But there was nothing they could do. I mean, this is what's so heartbreaking, Rodney Demery, is that there was nothing they could do to get their guy. The gunfire went on for too long. They had to leave him there at that front stoop, and everyone scrambled for the cover that you saw, you know, their body cams depicting.
Yeah, you're right. This is absolutely heartbreaking, and I echo the other two officers, you know, thoughts and prayers out to those families. These situations happen, and, you know, officers are trained to be vigilant. In most cases, we become hyper-vigilant. That sense of helplessness and not being able to do anything when you really want to is really heartbreaking.
So, you know, there's so much debate over policing right now, right? And policing, they really take it on the chin. All of the bad stuff that officers are doing is pointed out in the press, but rarely is the good stuff and the heroic stuff pointed out. It's almost like it's in fashion, you know, to pick on the cops across America right now. I just want to play that second video again, because I want people to look at it with a real discerning eye. As a police officer, you're just there to serve a warrant. There's a girlfriend there. There's kids there. So I'm just going to play this again. And if we could just start it from the very beginning, guys, I just want the audience to look at this from the perspective of a police officer who left his wife or girlfriend or kids or whomever that day. I said, I'll see you for dinner. So take a look at this. Let's roll it.
Ma'am.
Okay.
I got you.
Right,
you got eyes on him?
No, I do not.
Is Dion on the side?
Can you step out and shoot some police?
Is Dion on the side? Is he upstairs?
He's on
here. Right here? He's supposed to be right here.
Well, let me just tell him. Come on.
Hold on.
Dion, it's Houston police. Let's do this thing.
Hold on. Give me cover. Give me cover.
Somebody get Bill.
Give me Bill. Can you come back?
Three B 518. See bumping.
That's clear.
And that is the risk that police officers take when they get dressed for work and get their coffee and head into what looks like a war zone. It's not always, as Sheriff Lamb said, a war zone, but it sure can turn into a war zone in seconds. Just a couple of bits of housekeeping here. So the suspect here shot dead. So that was that. I mean, that was a lot of bullets. The girlfriend and the children, miraculously, they are unharmed, although I'm sure mentally they'll never, ever be the same. Officer William Bill Jeffrey, 31 years on the force with the Houston Police Department. He died later in the hospital, pronounced dead at the hospital. And Sergeant Michael Vance, who you saw trying to crawl away to safety after being shot several times in the leg, he is recovering. Although, once again, recovering is, you know, it's all relative. All right, I'm going to move now. Typically, the way this works in TV news is we'll show you a video, and then we'll come out of the video, and we'll give you an update, you know, on the people in the video. But in this next case, I kind of have to do this in reverse, and you'll know why in a moment. The mother and the 8-month-old baby daughter that you're about to see are, thank God, recovering nicely from this incident. But I want to take you to the streets of New York. That is mom right there in the spotlight, crossing the street with her baby in her arms. And then up in the upper right-hand part of the screen, a driver turns left, hits the curb, spins around, hits both mom and baby, plowing them right through the front of a barber shop. Unbelievable. Watch this again. There she is crossing. Everything seems normal. There goes the drunk driver up onto the curb and around, and then smashes into her and drives them right through the front. It's just astounding how quickly that happened. Almost as though it's impossible it could have happened. It just doesn't seem like that. I mean, everything seems okay. And then it really isn't. I want to show you the scene that ensued after two NYPD officers who were luckily right next door in a deli raced in to help and in the aftermath of this disaster. So, it, again, a little warning. It's a little difficult to watch.
We got a baby under the vehicle.
Let's get up.
Look out. Can you pull? Somebody's got to pull the baby.
Somebody's got to pull him out. Come on, kids. Come on.
Grab the baby.
Come on.
I got it. I got the baby. Hold up. Okay. Yes.
I want to go to Tucson. Tucson, Arizona, this is kind of the other whole side of the coin. Perhaps one of the more disturbing videos of police action that I've seen, a man in a motorized wheelchair allegedly stole a toolbox from a Walmart. There was an off-duty officer who was working security, and that guy called the police. The police arrived on the scene, and that, you know, Perp was already in the parking lot in the wheelchair with the toolbox, but he was headed towards another store. So now, according to the witnesses, the police asked the man, all right, let's see the receipt for the toolbox there, guy. And the response from the guy in the wheelchair was reportedly to pull a knife and say, here's my receipt. And then started directing his wheelchair towards the neighboring Lowe's store. And that is where we pick up this video. And I'm going to give you that warning again. This is upsetting. This may be disturbing to some viewers. So that happened. That's tough. That was a guy in a wheelchair. Here is from this angle heading in. He's allegedly armed with a knife, though. And he is just shot from like a couple feet away, shot dead and falls out head first, dead right there. Oof, 61-year-old Richard Lee Richards. That's who that was. Died right there on the scene. The officer was named Officer Ryan Remington. Unusual name in that I'm about to say he fired 9 times, again, 2 to 3 feet away. He's been fired from the Tucson police. Sheriff Lamb, just give me your thoughts on that.
Well, Ashley, I don't like to interject when I don't know all the details. I mean, this is obviously something I've heard about just because it's not far from where we're at. And look, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to the officer. You know, if this gentleman's with a knife, and I'm just putting some stuff out there. If he's got a knife and going into another store, you know, they have a duty to protect other people as well. So I'm anxious to see what all of the circumstances were in this case. Obviously, the optics aren't always great in our profession. And anytime you lose a life, it's tragic. And obviously, this officer is going through a lot of stuff too. So at this one, I'm gonna wait till the courts decide and we see all the evidence first.
Yeah, I respect that. This is close to home for you, and I say that literally. So, Philip Banks, all I can think of, and I'm a layperson, I have not been through any of the training you guys have. I certainly don't see anything outside of the purview of those two camera angles, but I do see a guy who's moving real slow on a wheelchair. Could there not have been some way to disable the wheelchair or something other than, you know, shooting someone dead from 2 to 3 feet away?
Unacceptable. I mean, based on if we're looking at the totality of the facts of what we're seeing on this video, and I want to be very clear about that, it's unacceptable. The tactics were very sloppy. It was something that they certainly were not trained on. And judging by this video, there was a lot of different areas that could have been taken. And I think that's what happens with some of the unrest in the community nowadays. They feel as though is that the police cannot police themselves, right? And in all too many cases, that is what happened. So if we have times we want to applaud our police officers and tell the world the great job that they're doing, which 90%+ of the time that they do, then we must have the courage when, in fact, they do something wrong to take that same stand. Now, I'm going to be very clear about my position here. I'm only seeing a clip of the video. I'm not seeing the total amount of the video. But from what I see, it's hard for me to be able to see how anybody can look at that and say anything that is unacceptable. The person was in a wheelchair. There was way for you to put more space between you. He didn't have a firearm. He had a knife, so therefore he needed some proximity. So from what I'm seeing, and if that's the totality of the circumstances, that's certainly unacceptable. It should not have happened, and there should be some legal repercussions in this situation.
Quickly button that up, Rodney, as well, from your perspective. You know, it just seems that there could have been a lot of other. And again, I'm not trained like you are, but I know tasers can do a lot, and a guy who can't run or even walk is not quite the match that many of the other battles we've seen have provided.
Right. Looking at this video, and again, just from what I'm seeing, it just makes absolutely no sense to me. There's obviously a mobility problem with the person in the wheelchair. And if the person is, again, only armed with a knife, I'm sure there are other options. I'm probably sure that's why they took the officer off duty and fired him. That's something that's going to be really difficult for anybody to justify.
Yeah, it's a tough one. All right, I am going to squeeze in a quick break here, guys. When we come back, sometimes it's hard to tell what's in a suspect's hand. Is it a gun? Is it a phone? Is it a bottle? When we come back after the break, you're going to have to try and guess, because that's what was facing some officers in Anaheim. Back after this. Okay, to Anaheim, California now. The Department of Justice has been called into this one. They're going to investigate a police shooting there. There was a guy named Brandon Lopez. He was a wanted man, apparently armed robberies. The investigator saw him driving a stolen car, and then they started to pursue. That's not unusual. But then they pulled back because they thought this guy is way too erratic, way too dangerous. Let's send in the helicopter instead. So that's what they did. They got the helicopter to do the chase instead. Way safer, right? But it wouldn't be long before Lopez and the stolen car slow way down, and then they get hemmed into a construction area because that's just dumb, but that's usually what these guys do. Dumb stuff. It leads to an hours-long standoff, though, that ends up in tear gas and confusion. And this is where I talked about before, what's in his hand. So I want you to take a look at this video. I do also want to warn viewers that some people might find the final result in what happens on at the end of this high-speed chase disturbing. So take a look.
Okay, I'm out.
7893 KM.
Oh, wrong way. Against traffic on Bristol.
South on runway number.
Up to Santa Ana in the construction zone. Westbound in the dirt, north side of Santa Ana Street.
North side of Santa Ana Street, heading westbound through the construction zone.
Something's wrong with his car. He looks like he might be stuck.
Okay, so the last thing that you heard was gun, gun, gun. It's a little hard to make it out because there's a lot of confusion. But Rodney Demery, we put big arrows there to show it looked like something big in his hand. He'd already gotten super dangerous on the highway. You heard the helicopter guy swing wrong way, meaning he's now endangering people on the road. So clearly the guy's reckless. This guy's dangerous. How do you make the decision if you're on the beat and you got this kind of a hours-long stand-up with tear gas and dogs barking and a long chase and then this thing in his hand?
Yeah, I think that's the problem, you know, with policing in general. There are people that can watch a video and not know exactly what's happening, and there's an officer that's on the scene. Obviously, someone saw or thought they saw a gun. And with that in mind, with all the other factors, with the high-speed chase, putting all the lives in danger, the officer probably felt that they were in danger. Now, it would be interesting to know whether or not the person who yelled gun was the one who fired or someone else fired because they heard the word gun. So that's a real sticky and a touchy situation when you try to figure out these things after they unravel.
Yeah, and you can also see there's things in the way. You can't see, you know, perfect clear shot. And also it's dark and also tear gas and also. So that Brandon Lopez, father of four, he was killed on the scene there. Philip Banks, I suppose it's not unusual to hear that the DOJ gets called in. Under California law, they're automatically called in when an unarmed suspect is shot by police. But you know, it's a difficult situation. Again, if you're not on the ground and all you have to go on is video, you think the DOJ does a good job when all it has is video and whatever the witnesses on the ground can tell them from the fog of war?
Well, I think the fact that the DOJ comes in is not a bad thing, right? They come in to investigate. What you would hope is that they do a fair and complete investigation. And when they do come in, oftentimes that they determined that there was no fault from the police department. So the fact that they're coming in is not necessarily a bad thing. What you would hope is that they would have a clear, honest, open investigation and that the truth comes out. In these particular situations, it is very difficult, and that situation for that police officer. And some of the things when we talk about training and tactics is to make sure that we attempt to, and it's very difficult. to not put yourself in a position, right, to make sure you're taking cover as much as you possibly can and utilizing probable cause for you to fire based on what you see, not what you hear or what everybody else is doing. And then listen, it's a very, very difficult call to make, and that's why only few people are chosen and actually can perform the job of a police officer.
I would be so scared to be that officer in the turret who's facing literally right down towards the windshield. I mean, that's one shot. That's terrifying to me. The position he's taking, oh, my God, like sitting duck. Okay, I have to go to break. I got to get another commercial in. I could watch these videos all day long. I don't know what police school is like, but if it's anything like that, I you sign me up. I just don't want to have to go and serve the warrants. That's just way too frightening for me. I don't even want to stop a car on the highway because I think that's the most dangerous thing. When we come back after the break, female cop, not far from me, Hartford, Connecticut, no good deed goes unpunished. She wanted to help somebody. You're going to see how he repaid her. Back now with Policing in America, a case out of Hartford, Connecticut now, and a perfect example of why there is no such thing as a routine night for a police officer, female officer on patrol. She sees a guy who looks pretty hammered. She tries to help him out, but take a look at how he repays her and, more importantly, how fast this went completely sideways. Take a look.
You need help? You need a ride? What's going on? Huh? What's your name? What's your name?
Alejandro.
Alejandro? Where do you live, Alejandro? Did you take anything today? Are you on medication? What's going on? You're drunk? You were drinking? Where'd you come from? Were you at a party? Okay, well, just stand by, all right? You need an ambulance?
Probably.
Why don't you sit on the hood of the car? Sit at the edge, all right?
Yeah, that was shattered glass on the left-hand side, driver's side window, because the suspect shot at her through that window. His name is 31-year-old Jose Callegas. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was charged with criminal attempt to commit murder, criminal possession of a firearm, unlawful discharge of a firearm. He is also, as it turns out, a person of interest in a nearby homicide from the night before. How about that? So, Sheriff Lamb, I don't even know what to say. This isn't even a person who was at risk. I mean, this officer was just trying to give him a hand. How on earth do you get training for that?
Well, we go back to what we said earlier. There's just no routine call. You have to assume that everybody has a gun. You have to assume that every call could go sideways. And look, we get really complacent because we do this so many times. I guarantee you this wasn't not even the first, probably not the 10th time she had made contact with somebody like this. I'm sure this, clearly this isn't what she was expecting. You know, you can sit here and armchair quarterback what she did after, but at the time, you know, she was probably doing what something that she routinely does. I'm sure she probably won't ever do it like that again.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go to the outskirts of Washington, D.C. now. Police in Frederick, Maryland called the home of a 23-year-old man. According to the person who called 911, had downed some bleach. Man was completely naked, clearly unbalanced, became tense and dangerous for the cops. Take a look at the body cam footage that was released by the city of Frederick.
DJ, lay down now.
Sit down. So you don't bump your head. I know you're warm. I'm gonna get you a washcloth for your face, okay? I'm gonna get you a washcloth, all right? You want a washcloth? Nice cold washcloth for your face. Does that sound good? Nice cold washcloth. Got the Roomba. Roomba's gonna vacuum a little bit while we're here.
Sit down, man. Sit down, please.
We just don't want you to fall. We're not trying to hurt you. We're not trying to hurt you.
Okay. Hey, let's just put this.
All right. Hey. Oh, God.
Frank, I'm gonna get him again in the leg.
Okay, holy Dinah. Rodney Demery, listen, that guy, they only tased, right? He attacks an officer. Turns out that he died 2 days later in the hospital, but well, sure wasn't from a gunshot or anything. But are you surprised? And I've only got about 10 seconds left here, but are you surprised at how reserved the officers were in that situation?
Well, I think the officers recognized that this person has some emotional problems, and they were doing everything they possibly could to de-escalate the situation. For whatever reason, he was excited. He was going to eventually lash out.
Yeah, that was a tough one to watch. Okay, you three are great, and I just want to thank you for the jobs that you've been doing all your lives, and I appreciate you coming on to talk about this stuff, too, because it's not always an easy conversation. So thank you, guys, and happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.